really necessary? Is it really that much pressure being mayor of New York City these days? I think it probably is. And I told you I was there the other night and the homelessness was just out of control. The crime has become out of control. And so consequently, I'm sure the guy's under a lot of pressure. I get it. But, you know, and that's what everything's about nowadays. It's like immediately people go to the worst possible place. They're accusing her during her parents were like, they escaped the Holocaust. She was born in Belgium and came here to the U.S. So she's an immigrant. She's from a family of Holocaust survivors and she's in her 80s. And she's just there saying, hey, you know, like, can't you do anything about the rents? And he is somehow interpreting that as something else entirely. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, people are just out of control and always going to the worst possible place. And it's being led by politicians like this. I mean, politicians like that. And then, oh, well, politicians like this.
The suburbs. Because they don't know a goddamn thing about how life is in the city.
Want to hear that one again? This is a state politician out in Milwaukee. People are a little upset there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because crime is kind of getting out of control. And so somehow she thinks the answer is just to say this.
The suburbs. Because they don't know a goddamn thing about how life is in the city.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. So this is what I'm saying. This is the world that we're now living in. Everything's so explosive. Everything's so divided. You have politicians just kind of, you know what, all over everybody. And then the F-bombs are flying around. Like somehow that is okay. I'm sorry, guys. It's not okay. It's not okay. We got to turn to a couple companies here. I want to get to Fox News in just a moment because you may have seen the headline coming out. Fox News made a settlement with the former Tucker Carlson producer who made quite a series of allegations against the company, and they are now paying $12 million to her. So, you know, the money just keeps getting shelled out. Geraldo is out of a job. Meanwhile, he's gone. I know some of you didn't like him, but I will tell you this, very, very nice man. I did not know the producer in question that did make that lawsuit, $12 million, according to her lawyer, but we're going to get to that in just a moment. You know, I got to go back to Mr. Adams here and just ask you, why is this getting to this level? I think that there's some sense that like, that's okay, right? We can do that because we're getting sort of the authorization. It's like a wink, a nod from Joe Biden. More than that, I mean, more than a wink and a nod from Joe Biden over and over and over again. And you know, the idea that like somehow he thinks that the Supreme Court is messed up and that they're making bad decisions because they're actually just trying to uphold the Constitution. Well, that it kind of tells you everything that you need to know. I mean, what's going to happen now? King Biden's going to make a decision that somehow, you know, hey, whatever he decides is actually what is the law of the land? That they're misguided, that they didn't have the right to get rid of his $400 billion plan to just wipe out debt for all of these people? I mean, you took it on, okay? Again, like, I'm sorry, but we got to be a responsible society. Otherwise, what are we? Anyway, I'm taking a quick sip of water again out of my lovely Live Free or Die cup. That's how you know it's a live show. Live Free or Die. I mean, that is that sort of streak of independence that I think we historically have always had in us. It's an expression left over from the Revolutionary War days, comes from General John Stark, out of New Hampshire, my home state. And, you know, that kind of is, I think, symbolic of how we have been, right? We believe so passionately in our freedom, and yet those freedoms are getting chipped away at nonstop by an entire system that is just greedy for its own power, which reminds me, I have some new merch. in time for the 4th of July holiday over at my shop. It's trishregan.shop. I should put that in there for anybody who wants to see it. I will put this in the comments as well. If you want to go check it out, trishregan.shop. Hopefully I spelled that right. Anyway, it's not easy to type and talk at the same time, but I'm getting there, right? It's so good to see all of you guys. Davy Jones, welcome back. Abel, good to see you again. Mac, good to see you. Yeah, we got to get into this. So let me show you. Here is Ms. Abby Grossman. She went on MSNBC recently. That's like the place to be, apparently. Like, you know, if you've got something that you don't like about conservatives, you go on MSNBC. It's where Joe Biden was just yesterday, and they all seem to go to that same show with that woman with that very nasal voice, who used to be a Republican. Remember, she hate Sarah Palin? They had like some kind of big squabble there. This is the woman who's doing, I think it's the 4 o'clock show on MSNBC. So anyway, let's see Abby Grossman. She is a producer who formerly used to work for Maria Bartiromo, and then she went to work for for Tucker Carlson, and apparently was in for a rude awakening.
Very upset. Are you going to destroy our whole campaign tonight? Because he could do that, and he would call and tell them that if you don't participate or you don't come on the show, we will destroy you. And I was told to tell that to congressmen sometimes, and I didn't. How can I? That was disrespectful. So in addition to the misogyny and the sexism and the anti-Semitism, there was also just this sort of moral growth with me where I reached a breaking point because of all of those things, and I literally did not want to.
So look, you know, I don't know the specifics of her case, but what I would just say is, hey, $12 million is a lot of money. And they are obviously paying this out for a reason. And as an organization, I would just question what was going on there in terms of management, that all that has happened has happened. Where was management? I'll tell you, non-existent. I mean, there's a woman that's supposed to be running things, couple women that are supposed to be running things. And yet it's the woman that was getting really, apparently, according to her, allegedly put in this really, really bad position. So why weren't the women running the network actually protecting the women? I mean, it's a fair, not like that. Why weren't they protecting themselves? Why weren't they protecting shareholders? Why weren't they protecting Tucker Carlson? I mean, the idea that they had to pay nearly $800 million, that's not good, folks. It's not good for journalism. It's not good for Fox. It's certainly not good for shareholders. I mean, look, the company's loaded. They can handle it, whatever. But they're just shelling out money like over and over and over again. And if you look at who's leaving, it's a lot of people. Can they not pay the salaries? They're probably going to have to run a very, very tight ship. It's a huge opportunity for other players, including Newsmax, including everyone here that are independent creators. I like that. I certainly love not having to send my scripts in or read a teleprompter and, you know, have somebody marking it up and saying, you can say this, you can't say that. But what I would just go back to is that in terms of the company itself, all that has happened should never have happened, but they had a total void in leadership. And when you don't have a strong leader at the helm, you see this in companies all the time, chaos ensues. And so that is exactly what happened. Abby Grossberg making the point that Tucker Carlson kind of had free reign to do whatever it was that Tucker wanted to do. And consequently, it sounds like there was no actual management managing him. But it wasn't just him. I mean, look, you know, Tucker, I actually, you know, some of you may know, I think a lot of times he's spot on and he has absolutely brilliant insights on things. And then sometimes, you know, I think gets a little over his skis on stuff. So I don't agree with everything that he says. But when you're working within a network, sometimes you need that strength, so to speak, at the top. And that's historically, right, what Fox had. So Roger Ailes, for all the faults that we've all read about, was running a quote-unquote tight ship in terms of the management there within the organization. And so they weren't just throwing people under the bus. 1, 2, 3. And yet that is what has happened, what has ensued. And you think about all the people that have left, and I don't know what's really left there. I mean, they're going to have to cheap out. I don't think that the new 8 o'clock person is going to actually fill the seat with the gravitas and the intellectual capability of a Tucker Carlson. Jesse Waters is a very nice guy, and he's funny, and he was great. Remember him doing those Bill O'Reilly like hits, you know, the man on the street stuff? It was great. But does he have the ability to command the 8 o'clock hour? No. Okay, like just no. They had other people that maybe could have done it, Dan Bongino being one, but they sent Dan Bongino packing. I mean, there's probably, you know, a few things going on there, and I'm sure Dan didn't like the sort of suppression that he may have encountered there. Laura Ingraham, very, very smart woman, actually was a clerk for a Supreme Court justice, and yet they're taking her out of prime time, and they're moving her to 7 was an excuse to pay less? I think the company's hurting, and they're going to have to financially shore things up. And in doing so, you know, they're shelling out this money here, there, and everywhere. I mean, they still have another lawsuit coming. In doing so, I would just go back to the root cause of the problem, and that's a lack of leadership. Leadership is everything in an organization and in a country, is it not? Another company that has no leadership right now, that would be, oh, well, can we talk about Bud Light? Bud Light, which inched just a teeny bit higher in trading today. We're going to talk about Apple, too, because Apple's actually $3 trillion. It's worth $3 trillion. Biggest company ever. But Bud Light is just nowhere near where it was, say, what, March 30th, before this whole Dylan Mulvaney campaign was launched and introduced. Well, now it just keeps getting worse because you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I mean, the company doesn't know what to do, does not know what to do. They're coming out with yet another commercial. I just played the one the other day, you know, where everybody's falling all over themselves. Well, now there's another one, and they're trying to show who they are, who works at Anheuser-Busch. And they want to prove that, you know, like, we got a bunch of guys and gals on our lines, and these are real Americans just like you, so don't take out your anger on them. You know, that's effectively what you're doing. Well, people are angry. They're angry. They feel betrayed, understandably so. It's like the Fox News viewer feeling betrayed because Tucker, who was part of their evening, was there. So many of you have said to me, you're like, you know what? When you left, I was done. Like, that was just it. I used to look forward to watching you. You left, I was done. Others have said, I was pretty shocked, but then Lou was gone, you know, and then Tucker. Oh, Dan might have been before that. And Steve Hilton as well. Steve Hilton, who had a show on the weekend, and now I guess he's just a commentator. Maybe they'll keep him on doing that. Geraldo announcing his retirement from Fox today. I told you this would happen. They took him off the 5, again, probably to save a few bucks. They took him off the 5, and so, like, what was he going to do at that point? Anyway, they're going through all kinds of problems, but Bud Light is going through its problems as well. I want to share with you the little skit from Dylan Mulvaney. Let me see if I can pull this one up, guys, because this was rather interesting. Dylan Mulvaney really struggling, apparently, with, all kinds of challenges as Mulvaney tries to sort of get one's life together, right? And it's not so easy, apparently, because, well, there's been a big uproar. I'm going to pull this, but before I do want to show you the original incident, which really started to tick people off. It actually started first with a podcast from the head of the marketing department.
I'm a businesswoman. I had a really clear job to do when I took over Bud Light. And it was, this brand is in decline. It's been in decline for a really long time. And if we do not attract young drinkers to come and drink this brand, there will be no future for Bud Light. So I had this super clear mandate. It's like, we need to evolve and elevate this incredibly iconic brand. And what I brought to that was a belief in, okay, what does evolve and elevate mean? It means inclusivity. It means shifting the tone. It means having a campaign that's truly inclusive and feels lighter.
Feels lighter and brighter and all those great things, right? She went on to say, of course, quite notoriously, that in the process of this, she wanted to make sure that she got rid of all those fratty guys that just, you know, didn't fit the brand anymore. And that is really where she kind of lost her way in a massive way. I mean, really just kind of unthinkable what ultimately has transpired for this company. Now, we're coming up on the end of what, Pride Month, right? Like, it's been a whole darn month. Do straight people get like a whole month? Anyway, she's making the point in this whole spiel that she's got to change and get away from those fratty guys. And in doing so, puts in this influencer, a creator that, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And you can understand why, only in that this is not who the audience is. Target had the same problem. Target also did a very similar sort of messed up thing with putting, well, the darn Tuckett swimsuit into action, right? I showed you that one, guys, and became such a big deal that before you knew it, you know, the Target song saying they're targeting our kids went straight to the number one charts. Yeah. Right. And so there we are today. And here I am still trying to figure out how I can get this to you, because I want you to see this influencer. You probably don't even want to see it. I know you guys, but it's, you know, I'll sort of summarize it here as I try and pull it up for you. Basically, Dylan Mulvaney is saying that Dylan did not have any support from the company, that Dylan was totally just hung out to dry and was left in a position where Dylan was fearing for Dylan's life. You notice how I'm being very, very careful with my pronouns, and I'm actually not even using pronouns because, that is the world in which we live now, and one could get in a whole lot of internet trouble if one does not use the correct I guess I'm supposed to say they. That's the idea. They. But you know what? I'm sorry. I'm just like a stickler for grammar. I actually believe that we should use the right parts of speech, and that, you know what? The language is the language. What are they going to do? Are they going to like remake Spanish? If you say la mesa, which happens to be feminine, like, is that a problem? I mean, remember the whole Latinx issue? Unbelievable. Anyway, I do have this here. Let's see if I can pull it up again for you as I try to. It's, you know, it's not that hot. It's just, he's just, careful. We're going to have to like bleep that out, okay? They. Unbelievable. Did you see what's going on in Minnesota? They actually want to, this is crazy, guys. They actually want to make it illegal and like punishable by fines of $10,000 or even jail time if you mispronoun someone. Are you serious? Like, you could go to jail over this? I mean, you wonder why the polls are starting to shift in Donald Trump's favor. Do you not? I mean, that is just really getting totally, absolutely, positively wild. And we're kind of in a very bad spot where we actually are looking at something as absolutely insane and crazy as that. I mean, just absolutely positively insane, crazy, crazy stuff. All right, I'm going to have to do this later for you because for some reason here it is. Okay, so we're going to get to watch it. What do you know?
Hi. One thing I will not tolerate people saying about me is that I don't like beer, because I love beer and I always have. I built my platform on being honest with you, and what I'm about to tell you might sound like old news, but you know that feeling when you have something uncomfy like sitting on your chest? Well, that's how I feel right now, so this feels like the right thing to do. I took a brand deal with a company that I loved, and I posted a sponsored video to my page. And it must have been a slow news week because the way that this ad got blown up, you would have thought I was like on a billboard or on a TV commercial or something major. But no, it was just an Instagram video. And the wildest part is that they also sent me one can with my face on it. You might have seen it. And funny story, I had the can around my house, but then I realized, wait, I need to protect this can. So I hid it somewhere. And now I can't find it because I hid it so well. But when I do find it, I feel like it needs to go in a museum, preferably behind bulletproof glass. And you might be thinking, Dylan, why bring it up now? I'm bringing it up because what transpired from that video was more bullying and transphobia than I could have ever imagined. And I should have made this video months ago, but I didn't. And I was scared, and I was scared of more backlash, and I felt personally guilty for what transpired. So I patiently waited for things to get better. But surprise, they haven't really. And I was waiting for the brand to reach out to me, but they never did. And for months now, I've been scared to leave my house. I have been ridiculed in public. I've been followed. And I have felt a loneliness that I wouldn't wish on anyone. And I'm not telling you this because I want your pity. I am telling you this because if this is my experience from a very privileged perspective, know that it is much, much worse for other trans people. For a company to hire a trans person and then not publicly stand by them is worse, in my opinion, than not hiring a trans person at all, because it gives customers permission to be as transphobic and hateful as they want. And the hate doesn't end with me. It has serious and grave consequences for the rest of our community. And you know, we're customers too. I know a lot of trans and queer people who love beer. And I have some lesbian friends who could drink some of those haters under the table. But to turn a blind eye and pretend everything is okay, it just isn't an option right now. And you might say, but Dylan, I don't want to get political. Babe, supporting trans people, it shouldn't be political. There should be nothing controversial or divisive about working with us. And I know it's possible because I've worked with some fantastic companies who care. But caring about the LGBTQ plus community requires a lot more than just a donation somewhere during Pride Month. And all this to say, bottom line, is that if you follow me, if I've made you smile, if you care about me, I need you to care about every trans person. And I need you to support us, and I need you to stand by us. And hey, it's still Pride Month, so I'm going to celebrate being alive, and I'm going to celebrate the trans people in my life and the ones I haven't met yet, and I'm going to celebrate the fact that no matter how many thousands of horrible messages or news anchors misgendering me or companies going silent, that I can look in the mirror and see the woman that I am and that I love being. And I know you were probably here for the tea of it all, but I would love for something productive to come from this. So there is a link in my bio to the Trans Law Center, who is doing some wonderful work, if you have the means to donate. And to the good people out there, I love ya. I really do. And cheers, but only if you're of legal drinking age. Okay, I love you.
Yeah, because that was a whole other issue, right? I mean, that was just a whole other issue, because Dylan Mulvaney's TikTok is actually marketed to underage people. It's like a super young audience. And so Ted Cruz and Marsha Blackburn are now filing a suit against Anheuser-Busch, which just doesn't know what to do, guys. I'm looking at it after hours. It's trading down $56.68 a share. Look, we're all kind people. I think we're all empathetic people. I think that anybody who's willing to do that to themselves and to their body is clearly struggling. But we also, as a society, need to be cautious in that, yes, we can be empathetic, but we don't want to indulge to the point where we're so darn confused about everything. You probably heard the story about the kid overseas who said they were a cat. And everybody had to go along with that. Like, you're a cat now? Like, I'm not a man, I'm not a woman, I'm a cat. Meow. And somehow it would be prejudice of society not to treat you like a cat? Have we lost our minds? It's really, really bizarre. And again, I say this comes from a good place. You know, I feel very, very bad for anybody that's struggling with this gender dysphoria. But also, Dinesh D'Souza said this to me the other day on the show when he came on. He said, you know, hey, like if you were struggling with a disease like anorexia and you went into the doctor's office and you said, hello, you know, doctor, I would like to have an operation and get this gastric bypass surgery to, you know, staple my stomach because I'm so fat and I'm so heavy. The doctor would say, well, no, because actually you need to gain 40 pounds, right? We can't actually have you lose any more weight. And yet you're there looking in the mirror and you're saying to the doctor, but don't you see this? Look at how fat I am. Look at how fat I am. And the doctor would say, okay, no, we got to get you some help. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I look, Dylan Mulvaney, by the way, who the heck knows? Because that's a whole thing within that whole trans community where people have complained that Dylan is just doing this as an act, et cetera. I'm just saying, as a woman who's watching people like, oh, I don't know. Remember that biker that's like just taking the whole race by storm? The biker's name will come to me in a second. If any of you guys are watching and it's on the tip of your tongue, feel free to throw that out there. But there was this bike race. There was one down in Latin America and then one in the Carolinas recently. Killam was the last name of the biker. And it was somebody who was identifying as a female and I guess had begun some of the transition process. But here's the deal. Like, if you have been your entire life as one sex, regardless of what you feel, you're going to have a certain advantage, right? So that's like getting into really strange territory when you want to try and actually scoop up all the wins and all the medals and maybe even the scholarships at universities. And we have a system and a president that's just willing to let that happen. It's like nobody cares about the females that were born female and believe they still are female. Like, what about them? Do they not matter? It's getting weird. Just like it was getting weird last Friday night in Tompkins Square in New York City with these people chanting, we're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children.
Proof of that. But now I began all of my studies, my book Sexual Persona began as a dissertation at Yale graduate school on androgyny. I've always been fascinated, attracted, you know, to the subject of androgyny. And that's what sexual persona is. I explored it in history. But the more I explored it, I realized that that historically the movement toward androgyny occurs in late phases of culture. Okay, as a civilization is starting to unravel. Okay, and that you can find it again and again and again through history.
And she goes on to explain that, you know, during ancient Greece, the statues started to get kind of droopy. And, you know, during the Oscar Wilde years and sort of the, you know, the Weimar Germany when people were too cool for school, you know, and they thought that it would be too pedestrian to have such gender stereotypes and that, you know, you could just kind of be whatever you wanted to be. And her point is, at some point, like society starts doubting itself so much that it doesn't really have a focus. And that's when you run the risk of sort of a hyper-masculinity kind of situation coming in and conflict. When we talk about the threat of a civil war, and gosh, I certainly hope it, you know, it's not actually that. But we're in this environment now where it's becoming this contest of wills to think that Governor Whitmer out there in Minnesota, remember the woman who was like so happy to sign all those lockdown orders? To think that she could potentially throw you in jail because you misgender someone? or hit you with a $10,000 fine, I mean, you're going to see serious pushback against that, just as you have seen pushback against Bud Light, which is why their sales are now down more than 28%, why the company has lost nearly $30 billion, and why people are saying enough. Enough, right? Which gets us to the political consequences of all of it. If you look at the new polls that are just out, what you actually now see is that Donald Trump is indeed pulling ahead of Joe Biden. I want you to see this. This is a poll from The Economist. And one of the reasons he's pulling so far ahead is because of this insanity around all this cultural stuff, because of the threat that if you don't call somebody they when they want to be called they, or you call somebody a she when she is really meaning to be a he. I mean, this is or he, this is she. I mean, the number of genders, I think it was the BBC who on their HR forms had like 200 different kinds of genders that you could fill out. It's just mind-boggling, and it kind of makes your head spin. And then to think that there could be actual consequences where they could ruin your life over something like that. Well, it's no wonder. And look, I feel for Dylan. As an influencer, I know that really stinks, right? That Dylan is feeling like everybody is after Dylan. But the reality is just that when you're out in the forefront of all of that, and you're trying to effectively force feed people a set of values that they don't believe in, then there will be consequences, as Bud Light has learned. I mentioned earlier that there was no management at Fox News. There's no management at Bud Light. Let me share with you what Bud is trying to say in its defense. They came out with a statement replying effectively or trying to deal with some of what Dylan Levaney's doing. And instead, they're talking about their new commercial and how they want to focus on their core customer, right? Their core customer that they were so quickly willing to ditch. Quote, "As we move forward, we will focus on what we do best, brewing great beer," not really, "brewing great beer for everyone and earning our place in moments that matter to our customers." You know, this is their statement. It comes just after the CEO, Brendan Whitworth, I showed you that clip just yesterday, was out on television. First time, Brendan, he's a he. The CEO of the company, Brendan Whitworth, was on CBS News talking about, you know, sort of how tough this has been on employees and how rough it's been. And of course, you know, there's a lot of companies that had nothing to do, and individuals that work at this company that had nothing to do with any of this. And they too, by the way, feel deserted and frustrated by the company's market decisions. But hey, you know, they all went to Harvard, good old Harvard. Harvard, who's going to do what it can to, you know, right all the wrongs of the past. And the next thing you know, you got men. "Sorry, David, I know you just ate dinner," wearing this. These are the new Daisy Dukes that are for sale at Shine. This is a Chinese company that sells a lot of cheap clothes to young kids. They advertise heavily on TikTok, and you know, you can buy a whole outfit there for like $7.99. It's an incredible internet business marketed heavily through social media. And when you're on their site, you can sort of click on things if you like it, then they'll just keep feeding you up more. It's like the TikTok, right, of retail. And they have this new thing out now for men. Daisy Dukes for men. Unbelievable. You got to see these things. You don't want to see these things, but you got to see these things because this is what China's marketing to our youth. Voila. I mean, wow. Right? Wow. I'm sorry. I know you don't want to see it. I know you don't, guys. I know. But it's important to just kind of understand the complexity of all of this. Yeah, you can go check out my store. Trust me, we don't have anything like that at my store, at my merch, you know. We get the wholesome stuff, some nice good baseball caps and manly things. Anyway, it's just, it's out of control. And I think it's time that parents and individuals do speak up, right? Because, you know, we need to control our own destiny and we need to control our own future. It's so important, which is why investing is so important. I'm going to get to the Apple news in just a second because Apple closed above $3 trillion, $193.97 a share. Wow. So the market's actually been doing okay, up 16% so far this year, but that number is misleading. So when Joe Biden tries to tell you it's all him, don't buy it. Don't buy it. I'll explain why, but before I do, a quick word from one of our sponsors, Legacy Precious Metals. You know, with all this inflation going on and all this concern about mounting debt that just is like going to keep growing and growing and growing because nobody has any discipline or any willingness to deal with it. Charles Thorngren was on the program the other day, the CEO of the company, talking about how gold is that hedge effectively against it. So if you're interested in investing in gold, you can actually do it on their website. You can actually buy and sell gold right there. But you know what? I also recommend giving them a call because they have a wonderful sales team. They're very, very helpful. I've talked to them myself. You're welcome to use my name. They know me, of course, very well. They were the very first sponsor on this program. So give them a ring at 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560, because gold, you know, if we continue in this inflationary environment, and I don't know how we're not going to, frankly, even if the Fed raises rates, because that's going to bring on a whole other set of problems, you may want to have that diversification. So talk to them and see if they can help. Joe Biden is really on this sort of tour, for lack of a better word, to tell everybody how great Bidenomics is. And I just want to make sure, I think you know, and I think you feel it. I think everybody in America knows that that's a load of you know what. It's almost like believing a man is a woman or a woman is a man. And now you want to tell me the economy is great when the economy is not great. I mean, I'm sorry, but you know what? There's still a sort of, you know, simplicity to society that they shouldn't forget. And as much as they want to talk around us and over us, Americans get it. And we know the economy is not doing well. All that said, he's going to point to the stock market. And the stock market, at least the S&P, is up 16% so far this year. Again, Apple closing at $193.97 a share, above $3 trillion. So this makes Apple the largest company in the history of the United States of America. I'm not surprised. I mean, Apple's kind of the be-all, end-all, right? And everybody's getting an iPhone. I mean, I know some people still have the Android, but, you know, Apple's pretty, pretty prevalent everywhere. But the reason why the company's really starting to do well, and tech companies in general, specifically if you look at NVIDIA, they're doing well because of ChatGPT and the incarnations that are about to come. ChatGPT is out, ChatGPT-4. NVIDIA is like way ahead of the game. Intel may in the future see some benefit from that. But NVIDIA was one of the first to be investing in all of this. And, you know, Apple, of course, benefiting from it as well. It's going to be a lot of change for our society. We hope that it all happens at an okay time. I see some of you are not big fans of Apple. I hear you. You know, I know where you're coming from, and you're lumping Don Disney in with them, and I see that. But yeah, the company's, you know, from a just sheer valuation standpoint, it's getting up there again. So if you had bought shares of Apple, I guess you're pretty happy today. Whether or not it continues, we'll see. But yeah, Stevie's bringing up antitrust. I think there's, you know, there are some issues there. We'll see if those get looked at in the future. Daryl, loving Daisy Dukes. Loving Daisy Dukes, but on women. Yes, I'm going to have to wear some. You know what? We're coming up on the 4th of July weekend. Head over to my Instagram or to my Facebook if you're there already. I know so many of you are watching actually on Facebook, a lot of you here on YouTube. But I do have a pair of Daisy Dukes, and I may have to pull them out for the 4th of July. I'll do that. And then I'll repost my national anthem as well. So in the name of patriotism, Trish is getting out the Daisy Duke shorts and singing The national anthem as we come up on the July 4th holiday. Hey, listen, it's great to have you guys here. So great to have you here. Do me the favor, if you have not already, do make sure that you subscribe. Subscribe to the channel. Make sure you hit the bell so you know when I'm here. We got lots and lots of content coming out every single day, so you get fresh videos every day. And we'll continue the conversation tomorrow. Have a good one, everyone.